down and then you're still dropping six into a zone, fine. But if you're going to go straight man, the one thing that we've seen Trubisky consistently do in his NFL career is be a man beater. And I am just astounded by that lack of foresight and preparation to not do this.
This is the thing that we've spent the last several weeks talking about, right? I mean, remember the Simpsons episode where Homer takes Flanders to Vegas and he has like the program? And Homer's like, never question the program. The program is lock solid. I feel like that's Matt Nagy with his offensive scheme. You know, it's like if there's something going wrong, it's not the scheme. It's the player's execution or it's the ref screwing it up or it's whatever. It's not the system. And Matt Patricia is the same way.
But the thing that frustrates me is how do you spend so much time with Bill Belichick? the guy who every week tailors and says, okay, what does it take to beat this team this week? And he's not married to a particular system. The system that he's married to is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this week. How can you spend so much time with that guy and not take one of the best lessons?
There's no Bill Belichick coaching tree. There's just Bill Belichick. That's it.
Well, don't you think that it's maybe more a lack of respect for Mitch Trubisky that they just think you're not as good as everyone's trying to say that, you know, Lawrence, you're telling us that he's going to carve us apart because his best is against man coverage. He can pick it apart. He can find the mismatch. Okay. They don't believe it. We don't believe you. He's not that good.
But they didn't adjust.
I think it's more of that.
They didn't adjust, you know? I mean,
But if you already have
But they were winning, you guys. They were winning the game. Like, let's not act like the Bears, like,
no.
served it up on a platter. They did not. They were winning.
No, Peggy, you're right. David Blau was really impressive. So this is my role in the stuff that goes on with the football after show. So Wednesday night, you get the word that Blau starting. I'm like, okay, I remember David Blau a little bit from Purdue. I know that he put up some big numbers, and I'm like looking at tape. And so I send it out to my guys, and I'm like, guys, I'm a little concerned because there are some things that he does well that if the Bears aren't on it, he might hit them for some big plays. And then like we're sitting there, and all the guys are like, yeah, we watched the video last night, and he's good enough. He's good enough to make some problems for them. And then, poof.
11 minutes. Yards,
right,
I know.
Right. 75 yards down the field, and there's David Blau doing his thing. It's the league is crazy. I really like him. I'd love to get you two's opinion on this. I like him as, like, a developmental quarterback. Like, shouldn't that ideally be the type of guy that you have as your number three quarterback? Ideally.
Are you saying Tyler Bray is not that guy?
Yeah. I'm going to, you know what? I stand by that, Jules. I am going to say right here, right now on the score that I'm confident that after 7 years in the NFL, Tyler Bray's not that
good. Well, you know what we were saying before the season? Like, Mitch has to figure it out because there's no one else. I mean, it didn't mean it like there's no one else who's as good. I meant like there is literally no one else. I mean, Chase Daniel is there to like teach Mitch the system.
Right.
And Tyler Bray is, I don't even know why he's there.
They're paying Chase Daniel millions of dollars to be a quarterback coach.
Yes. There's a lot of backup quarterbacks, a lot of young guys who have gotten playing time this year who are making the Bears look really bad for their recognition of the quarterback position. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of backup. This is like the year of the backups that guys are stepping in and looking pretty darn good. You know, not always winning, but they're looking pretty good. And it keeps shining the spotlight on the Bears' miss when it comes to spotting developmental quarterbacks.
That's right. A quarterback room that doesn't have anyone that you would want with this team going forward.
Long-term. You know what? At Hallis Hall, how they have all the writings on the walls and everything. What do they have in the quarterback room? You know what I mean? They've got, like, the linebackers have got, like, Butkus and Urlacher. And so, like, what's in the quarterback room?
Oh, it's got the most pictures of any room.
Sid Luckman?
Luckman and Jay Cutler. and Rex in the Super Bowl. That's all they've got.
It's smoking Jay with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
You better believe it. Julie, Peggy, it's great to see you.
You too, buddy.
I miss you all the time. You know that.
Thank you. Happy day after Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving hangover.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang out. I miss you too, Jules.
I have no one to talk about The Watchmen with.
Oh, my God. We're trying to get Tony up to speed, but, you know, today's Tony's last day. He's going to binge it. He's not even going to try and watch it. I would be down for a visit to your show so that we can talk Watchmen.
Let's do that.
All right.
All right.
Put that on the books. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. That's Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski. They are sitting in for Bernstein and McKnight. Top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you want to sign a one-day contract with the Wolves and earn $5,000 in signing bonus, visit ChicagoWolves.com for details. Then visit the Sprint store in Arlington Heights between 1 and 3 p.m. on December 14th for your chance to win. And this hour is being brought to you by Honda CRV. Search ContinentalHonda.com for the continental difference. Tony, let's go.
How about Tony? How well he handled that whole thing.
Afterwards. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Tressman was brought here to score points offensively, and they did. Right. He had other problems. This coach was brought here to make the offense go, and it hasn't done anything.
Damn. So remember how we were all making the Tressman comp? It's actually worse. It's worse. Let me give you the numbers again, because it might have gone by you. 8 of the 11 games this year, they haven't scored 20 points. 16 of the 28 games under Matt Nagy, they haven't scored 20 points. Let it sink in. Go. It's okay. It's okay. Let it sink in for just a second what that is and what that offense looks like.
Remember your feelings with Tressman after he was done.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than that on offense now.
It's worse.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
One more time. Yeah, this is Tony's last day of EPing here at The Score because he has got himself a fancy new job over at NBC Sports Chicago, and he's going to start that in a week. So he's got this show. Can you talk? Because earlier today when I got in, you weren't able to talk.
It's feeling a lot better. I haven't said much words since the last time we talked, just so I could save up.
All right, good. Because I wanted you to save. It's not because he's emotional. It's because he's hacking up a lung. I had to go get him Ricola and honey so that he could hang out and talk with you people one more time here on The Score. Stop doing so many interviews.
I got to do one today on Grody with Grody and Will.
Well, see, there it is. And that's what the struggle is. All right. This is a Built for Tough Bears Monday on a Friday on The Score. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We are breaking down the Bears game, but Matt Nagy is at the podium. He's ready to go, Tony. All right, let's hear from the Bears head coach on their win.
All right. Well, in regards to from yesterday, I just going back watching all the tape. You're number one. I'm proud of our guys battling through a short week on the road division game. And then we get battle tested throughout the game with some adversity. But in the end, I think they just showed who we are, who they are. And it's always nice to come out with a win. So now we have a normal week here prepping for the Cowboys.
How would you describe what it is you felt in the locker room afterwards and what that was for you guys?
Yeah, when we talk about enjoying that 5 to 7 minutes after a game, after a win, when you win, one thing is you don't want it to be scripted. So we know we have it when we win. And there's some that guys are just so exhausted after a game that it's hard to celebrate too much or dance. But yesterday you just could kind of feel like, you know, through everything that we've been through this year, it's a different year. And that's okay. But what we've been through, and then just the way yesterday went, going down to the final play, it's exhausting mentally and physically. And so you're on a short week, you know, you have lack of sleep, you have lack of energy. But I knew from the start of the game, I knew in the locker room pregame, I could tell our guys were laser focused. It was different. Last year felt different in the locker room pregame. It was coming off a night game. But so going back to your original question, you could just feel just an organic fun.
You always talk about with Mitch, you've always talked about having a next play mentality. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the best example of the way that you want him to handle it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he showed it yesterday. There's several times Well, I said it where after the interception, he comes back and he's throwing completions. And then if there was, you know, we were behind the chains a little bit and he never let that rattle him. He made conviction throws. So overall, there's always a couple plays here or there, but overall, yesterday's probably a great example of all year long of him coming back with the next play mentality.
After the second deep throw to Anthony, mm-hmm. it looked like Mitch almost wanted to just run to the line and maybe because he didn't want them to challenge it, and then it seemed like there was some personnel coming on. There was some confusion. It didn't matter at the end, but what kind of happened?
Yeah, so there was. It's so far in the corner where that happened that there was a little hesitation. It's such a big play. You don't want to lose that. So do you go hurry up and try to run so you don't lose that gain? But then we confirmed it that we were good. So now we're going ahead, and we went to a big personnel with bigger guys. So there's Anthony's celebrating. He's happy he made a big play. But yet now there's a personnel change, and so we're getting that going. And then – I still need to go back and see the part of the referee standing there right at the snap for that long, you know, for Mitch to not snap it. I got to check that out. But, you know, I could have easily called a timeout there and saved it, but we didn't. We felt very comfortable with our plus five package in the red zone. So it actually sounds crazy, but losing some yards there doesn't really hurt you in some ways. That's, you know, there's some plays that we like, and you saw that yesterday.
What do you like about Mitch's decision making, not necessarily on, you know, the deep balls to Miller or the touchdown to Horsted, but just how he operated throughout the entire game?
Well, he did it on time, you know, so the decisions that he made was on time, and I think that's this offense is built on timing, and when you make the right decision on time, usually good things happen, and I think you felt that. There's a lot of plays yesterday. You know, even after the fumble that was called, that was overturned with Anthony Miller, the next play we hit A-Rob over the middle. That's just an example. When you go back and watch that, you'll see that's the timing of this offense. When you throw the ball three hits row and they popped the zone on us and he threw it to the right guy in zone, it's hard to stop.
And what do you think has unlocked Anthony Miller the last few weeks?
Well, he's getting more opportunities for sure. Now, with all that said, right, we want to make sure that we're still honing in on the details. And so numbers wise, you know, he's done a good job, but we can all still improve in some areas. And he knows that. And that's going to be important here moving forward, that that we make sure that regardless of a stat line, that we make sure that on every play, we're doing the right thing all the time.
Matt Nagy's press conference after the Bears win over the Lions. You're listening to it right here on The Score.
It was one of the worst first halves he's played all year. He was upset about the fumble / incompletion. Is that part of what?
Not necessarily. I mean, he probably is hanging a lot on that on the fumble or whatever. But I think for the most part, when you go back and watch, there's going to be some of this that goes on with more opportunities. There's more stuff going your way, so. It's just a matter of numbers, but I know he can get. I know he can be more detailed, and he will. And I have all the trust in Coach Furry and Allen Robinson being a great mentor. And so that's what we're striving for is perfection there in regards to details.
Now, where are you in? Akeem Hicks can return to practice this week? Can he not?
Yes, he can.
Where are you guys with that?
Well, I hope that's what we're. That's what our focus is. We're hoping that he's able to come back this week and start practicing. So that's kind of the goal.
Physically. Can he get through a practice?
That I don't know. Yeah. You know, yeah, we'll. I guess we'll see.
What would that mean if he is able to come back for that Packer week?
It would be huge. I mean, you anytime you have a guy that is the type of player he is, the type of leader he is, what he's meant. I like the way he's really handled himself here in the last whatever it is 7-8 weeks. He's done a great job at being around and being a great teammate and a leader and mentor to all these younger guys. So it's exciting when you get to this point, and it does feel like forever ago, but hopefully we can get that moving forward.
I know you're focused on the Cowboys, but I'm sure you're also aware of the rest of the schedule. And this last month has always been considered the toughest part of your schedule.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you feel it's fair to say that this the way this season has gone, this last stretch will be a real good litmus test of where you're at and where you're headed.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You know that, you know where we stand, and everyone starts getting to the what ifs. But you know, we just feel like it's been such a unique year to us with everything and where we've been, and the, you know, losing four in a row and now winning three out of the last four. That's been a challenge, and we know what's ahead of us. But we can't, you know, we can only control what goes on Thursday night. And so, and we understand too that Dallas is in a very similar situation, and so. You know, both of us being 6-6, having an opportunity to play at home is going to be fun.
Usually when for David to average 4.7 yards per carry, mm-hmm. what did you see in the running game when he was carrying the ball?
Yeah, you know what? You could just feel our offensive linemen getting to the second level, good angles with their blocks. David was running hard. I mean, he was breaking tackles. He had a 14 or 15-yard run that got called back. His average might have been even higher, and he might have got close to cracking 100 yards with a couple penalties that we had. But you felt that. I felt it as a play caller. You felt like you were getting to 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, more than 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8, and that's a credit to our offensive line.
There's one play with Montgomery on the touchdown driver. He kind of got to the line, almost kind of stopped, and it looked like he put his right hand on Coward, and then like a hole opened up and he hit that. What do you just like about his vision
yeah.
on that play specifically?
Yeah, we always talk about it's not speed to the hole, but speed through the hole. So there's patience getting there. And then once you get there, now you got to feel, okay, where's the defense going? And you react off of that. And he has a nice burst right there. And so early on in the game, he had one where he ran it in the middle, he froze, and then he busted it to the right. That might be the one you're talking about. Down in the red zone. And so I just think that David has a really, really good vision. He has great feel for where defenders are going to be. And then when they get there, he does a great job at breaking tackles. Has good contact balance.
Matt, whether it's what Anthony did down the stretch, whether it's on the final drive, or even the tackle that Kyle made to save the touchdown, what's the value for the group at large of game-winning play?
Right. Yeah, I think that's huge, Dan. So a couple things. So we talk about Anthony and some getting better at some details. But the thing I love about Anthony is that he plays with extreme passion. He's ultra talented. Those two catches and plays that he made with those throws that Mitch made at that moment on third downs says a lot about who those guys are and how they're growing together, Anthony and Mitch. And that's big. So he took the high angle on the first one, the first third and four. He took it high, caught it on the left side. Mitch made a great throw, and he had to make the catch. Guy played pretty good coverage. The second one down towards the goal line was another one, tracking that ball and trying to find it. Two big moments for those guys. Kyle's tackle was a game changer, you know, being able to make that play. It was a one-on-one tackle that they set up for. They knew they were going to have the corner on the running back, and Kyle just got enough to make him trip up and fall and keep them to 3 instead of 7. So that part was huge. Then you take it to the offense. And I think the last drive that the offense had down and starting with a 5-yard penalty, basically going 95 yards to win the game or help win the game. I don't know where we'll look back. I don't know where this is going to go in the next 4 weeks. I don't know. But if it goes well, you could look to that drive.
To that point, Matt, of all the good things that happened yesterday, what's your favorite indicator of a foundation thing that you can use that will work against good teams, bad teams, whatever, that you know that will that's really useful heading into this last stretch?
Probably just the balance, and then we had one drive in there, that fourth drive where we went backwards with penalties, 1st and 32. Take that one out yesterday. I hate to say, and I wish it wasn't always, there's going to be one or two series in there where you're going to have a 3-and-out. And we had a couple of those, and then we had that 15-yard. We had the penalty fest, but being able to get to that 2nd and 5, I think, and stay ahead of the chains is so important to this offense. And however we do that, whether it's running the ball, throwing the ball, screens, movements, play actions, it doesn't matter. Get to 2nd and 5. When you do that, you have we're putting ourselves in a position to move the football in other ways. And I think when we get behind and it's 2nd and 9, that's when you've seen us struggle.
You said yesterday that the one negative was the penalties, and you just mentioned the one drive that you got pushed back. But it seemed like throughout the entire game, when you did commit a penalty, you overcame it, whether it was the 2 15-yarders at defense, the one in the last drive. I think there was a block in the back on the Horsted drive.
Yeah.
What does that say about the team that you're able to do that consistently throughout that game where you didn't allow a penalty to ruin a drive?
Yeah. So, first of all, as far as the defense goes, the late hit by Leonard Floyd that gives them 1st and goal at the 9, I was proud of our defense for holding them there to 3 points. That's a big deal there. So that was great. And then just for the rest of our offense, there's some tough ones there that we had where we had to overcome it. And I think the fact that they did overcome it, we had the long one there, first and 32, and we get to fourth and six. You want to be able to make that fourth and six. But in any case, I just go back to let's not have the penalties. You know, that's the biggest. Let's not plan on having.